current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology,
wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, May 31st, 2019. On the other side of the glass is Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville. I'm Greg Hilton. Thanks for staying with us for the next hour as we dive into news headlines and topics from around the world to see that God's Word is telling us that we are living in the end times.
Amen.
And time is going by fast. It just hit me. You know, we're halfway essentially almost through this year.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be June 1st.
That's right.
Summer's full blown. Everyone's on vacation. No one's on the road. Everyone's off from work except for us.
That's right. Yeah.
Because prophecy does not stop.
That's right. It keeps on grinding forward.
So, folks, thanks for staying with us. Don't forget our website. It's thesigns.org for everything Signs of the Times related. And we'll talk more about our website and what you can find there as the show progresses. However, in our first half hour, we talk about this from time to time is nothing more than a reminder for all of us that when we read God's Word, God's Word is for all men all over the world, which means that prophecy, a third of the Bible, is for the whole world. And sometimes we can become myopic just looking at the news stories in our country. And yes, they are prophetic, but there's other news stories around the world that are equally prophetic.
Yeah.
And if you are a global news follower, then you know that we've had some European elections in the past week. Some oddities in those elections, and Pastor Mark wants to talk about those and why they are prophetic and how and in what part of God's prophecy in His Word that those elections kind of relate to
in
the book of Daniel.
Yeah, seemingly very odd unless you have your spiritual glasses on. But before we jump into that, Greg, you didn't do your special today's donut day or something. Like this is like,
here's the problem. I look at that every week and there really wasn't.
Nothing stood out.
You know, Chinese checkers was actually invented in Germany.
Oh, see, and that was, you want the people to miss that?
It really wasn't worth, I mean.
All right, that's okay. No, that's all right. There you go. That's all right. We can get more. Let's get more.
It wasn't that exciting.
I'm with you.
Okay,
I'm with you. No, great intro, and I veered us off. Let's get us back to where we were. Again, this is one of the things we try to do on Signs of the Times is to try to get our listeners out there looking through their spiritual glasses and recognizing things that the average person wouldn't recognize. Here's what I would get. Yes. Most people in the world don't really care about the elections in Europe, and they don't think it means anything.
Very true.
But this is huge, and it's very prophetic. And that's what I want to lay out and explain to us why and why this is, because there was a great oddity in the elections. Now, we've been watching for years Europe unifying, working toward the big unification of Europe. And we've talked about the fact that it's the revived Roman Empire. And in that Roman Empire, you know, we're going to see the nations come back together and eventually led by this world leader that we call the Antichrist. And the world's going to think he's the savior of the world, so to speak. And so there's going to be this great unification. But what we oftentimes don't think of and miss is there is a great unification, but it's a forced unification. It's something that's forced on everyone, represented in Scripture as iron. You know, these feet of iron, but they also have toes of clay. And so what happened this week was we've been watching this move toward the iron and everybody coming together in Europe, but we haven't seen much of the clay. And what do I mean by that? That is the opposition where we're going to see the iron win, but there are going to be those who are conformed and have to conform, but really don't want to. And that's what the Bible says is going to be laid out in the last days when it comes to Europe and the world. It's going to be taken over as a one unified world, but there's going to be parts of it that don't really want to do that, but they have no choice. What we saw this week were those who really don't want to be a part of that. And after I read Daniel, We'll talk more about what that is. Okay. I want to give you the scriptural background because we haven't actually read through this in quite a while on the show.
Yeah, good.
Talking about end days, but Daniel gets the vision. Daniel gets an end times vision about what's going to be happening in different kingdoms throughout the world from Daniel's time on and then all the way up through the return of Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar, who's ruling the world at this time, has a dream. And he calls Daniel the prophet in because Daniel's been taken to Babylon when Israel was taken to Babylon. That is the southern kingdom, Judah. And he calls Daniel in to give him the interpretation. God gives Daniel the interpretation, rather. And he calls him in, you know, they call him in to explain to him what's going on. And he says, here's what you dreamed, king. You, O king. And this is from Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 31. You were watching, and behold, a great image. The great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, its legs in iron, feet partly of iron, partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze and silver and gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried it away so that no trace of them was found. Every bit of it was blown away as if it never existed. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the entire earth. So there's the image, this image. The stone strikes it, destroys it. He says, this is the dream, and now we will tell you the interpretation. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory, and wherever the children of men may dwell, or the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, he's given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them. You are this head of gold. So that was the first part. By the way, just so you don't miss it, again, in each of these sections, they were made of different metals. And so he was the head of gold. He's the first kingdom spoken of here. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the earth. So the second, third kingdoms. Now we know the second kingdom, again, was the Medo-Persian Empire. We know that the third kingdom was Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire. We can look back in history. He didn't know this, but now we can look back. And the fourth kingdom, this is the one we're concerned about because this is the one that really deals with us. The fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush others. Now, there were two legs to this image and 2 feet. It's a picture of the revived Roman Empire in 2 stages. We had the Roman Empire, which is the fourth kingdom mentioned here, that was in power in the days of Jesus. They fell. And now the Bible says in the last days, here and other places, it will be revived. Revelation tells us that. Yeah. Daniel tells us it's going to be revived. So this fourth kingdom is not done. It collapsed, but it has a second leg,
right,
if you will.
Right.
And so he's talking about that second leg. He says, whereas you saw the feet and the toes partly of potter's clay. Notice potter's clay, that's used to form an image, to mold something. And partly of iron. The kingdom, that is this revived kingdom in the last days that we're looking at formulate right now in Rome. I mean, right now in Europe. He's talking about that. He says, yet it shall be divided. Note that. This unified kingdom will be united by iron, meaning iron will win. The strongest will win. It will be united. But it's still divided and partly clay. That is, those who didn't really want to go along. Yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile, even as, you know, clay would be if you molded it to an iron foot. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another. So they'll intermingle as if they're one, but they're not going to really like bond, like iron mixed with clay. Neither of those bond. And in the days of these kings, that is this final kingdom, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and that kingdom shall be not be left to other people. This is when Jesus comes back to rule and reign. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Insomuch as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, Jesus is our rock. It's a picture of Jesus. That it broke the pieces of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. Jesus will come back in the second coming and strike these world kingdoms, and they'll be destroyed. The great God has made known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure.
Now, before we get to the bottom of the statue, Let's point out something that's important to understand at the end of prophecy, and that is the nations or the empires that Daniel had given the interpretation for in the statue. Those nations were either conquered or defeated in battle.
Yes.
Very important.
Yeah, they were destroyed.
The Roman Empire was not defeated or conquered. They imploded from within, which could take us down a whole different rabbit trail to see why they imploded and talk about the similarities between that Rome and today's United States.
Right.
Nevertheless, the only way that something can be revived in that sense in terms of this interpretation is that it was not conquered or defeated, which is why. So it's kind of just, you could say, the Roman Empire has gone to sleep for a long, long time.
That's right.
And now it's going to be revived.
That's a great point. And that's that whole point of the two feet, the two legs. Yes. It's now being revived. The Bible says in the last days it will. We're watching that happen. But here's, again, what my point is, we've been watching, simply from my viewpoint, the collapse of individual nations and states over there as far as their sovereignties, and the increase only of unity, unity, unity. Everybody losing their sovereignty. Remember, we saw some places willingly laying down. I think it was Denmark. Don't quote me on that. But willingly laying down their sovereignty, saying, we're just going to turn it over to the European Union and be one with them.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? So we've been watching this happen. But it tells us clearly in Daniel, it's going to be divided. In other words, yes, the iron will be in place and the iron will ultimately win. But there's another part made of clay that is going to be molded to that iron like a potter would do, which means it doesn't necessarily want to be a part of that toe or a part of that foot, but it really has no choice. The iron is going to conquer. The iron is going to win. This kingdom, this ruler is going to make them conform and be a part of it. But before that totally happens, we're seeing some rebellion. We're seeing some resistance. Now we get to the elections that happened in Europe. Mark, what are you talking about? Well, the nationalists and the populists won some major elections over in Europe this past week and shocked people. It had become so liberal over there. It had become so dominated by the socialist mindset of this unification that all of a sudden these populists or nationalists that are saying, no, we want sovereignty on our country. We want this. They begin to rise up by a popular vote. People are shocked and they're saying, what's going on? Now, another thing happened. Again, that is, I believe, part of this clay.
You're seeing that's the clay that won. The clay part is what we saw won.
The clay is being formed over there. The iron's in place. The clay is now being formed, and the two are going to be forced together by this Antichrist and by the forces of darkness to where they will be 2 feet with 10 toes and all complete. But they're only going to be there because they have to. Mm. Some are going to say, I really do not want to be. I really want my own nation. I really want that. But they're going to have to.
Right.
So we're watching that literally formulate right before our very eyes. Now, at the same time, and I throw this in just as a side note, which you would expect in the young generation.
Yes.
The green movement won some big gains. And that is those that are environmentalists. We have to protect the earth.
Right.
Right in line, again, with the spirit of Satan working in the world. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that when people turn away from God, Romans chapter 1, they start to worship nature. And so as you watch the world now getting less godly as a whole, they're not going to get greener, if you will, because they're going to begin to worship the earth and worship what's going on in the
earth.
And
that's a global issue,
It is a global issue, absolutely.
It can apply in any country.
It's happening here. It's happening in Europe. And we always make that distinction.
Yes.
We can't base prophecy off what America's doing. This has to be worldwide if it's prophetic. And so you've got the green movement rising up worldwide, which goes right in line with an anti-God spirit. At the same time, you've got the unity formulating. But what's really cool to me about this is you've got this whole thing of the toes now coming together where they're being forced to conform and comply and blend in with this. And that's exactly what we would expect to see happen. And again, this is the kind of thing where I think unless you're watching, unless you understand scripture, you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, and the world also has a cheerleader for this green movement too.
Yeah.
The Pope.
Absolutely. Which is very interesting. In light of the fact that it says that when this world leader comes on the scene, who will be unifying the world together as one, he's going to have a buddy. It's kind of like Batman and Robin. You know, you got Batman here, which is the Antichrist, and nothing against Batman and Robin out there for you Marvel
please,
fans.
Because I love Batman.
Or DC fans, I'm sorry.
I can't remember.
Batman and Robin, but Robin would be, you know, like the Pope.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be supporting. He's going to be looking at this. He's going to be a spiritual leader. And I say it's the Pope. We don't know, but I mean, really, when you look at who it could be, it almost has to be the Pope. I mean,
right.
There's really no other
world. I never hear him talk about the Word of God. Well, it's always about social issues.
And here's the thing. It has to be a worldwide religious leader. And there is no worldwide religious leader that has a following right now.
Like the Pope
like
does.
The Pope. And yeah. So I think you're going to see something like that take place. He's going to be supporting the Antichrist, and these two together are going to be deceiving the world and moving forward this demonic agenda, this satanic agenda, where Satan's ultimate goal is to be worshipped and to be God.
Yeah.
You know, from the very beginning, he said, that's what I want. When he rebelled, he said, I want to ascend to the highest parts of the north. I want to do this. I want to do this. Well, the only way he's ever, and then he was kicked out. The only way he's ever going to get any kind of semblance of worship from the world is he's got to take the world over, and God has to allow that to happen. Well, God's going to allow that to happen to divide who really loves God and who doesn't love God, to put them in the two camps. And as Satan does that, he's going to rise to power. And what he's going to do is through him, he's going to take the place of, we talked about the unholy Trinity. He's going to be as though the unholy Father. The Antichrist will be like the unholy Son, carrying out the bidding of the unholy Father. And then the Pope or whoever the spiritual leader is will be like the unholy Spirit that'll be pointing all the eyes to this Antichrist. And so, I mean, it's just amazing to watch this formulate, you know, and to realize when you see these things happen, we're not off track.
Yeah.
Nothing's being reversed. We are right on target.
So I picture these 10 toes like a mosaic. If you look at it like a stained glass mosaic thing where you've got these bits and pieces and you can see the clay pieces,
yes.
You can see the iron pieces.
Right.
And they're kind of molded together.
Yes.
So basically these 2 feet and the 10 toes at the bottom of this statue, it's not strong. It's beatable, right? It's crushable.
Yes.
I mean, but the world won't be able to come against it because the iron has swallowed up those within the world that would resist against it, which would be representative of the clay.
Yeah, and Satan's power will rule over enough to where the world can't overthrow the Antichrist.
Right.
Only God can do that.
So for those that are listening and hearing this for the first time, and it's like, okay, well, who's going to defeat this? What's going to defeat this? What's going to defeat the 10 toes? What's going to be able to break these toes apart and finally kill this empire that was once asleep, now revived, and now ruling the world?
Yeah, well, again, no one other than Jesus Christ.
How is he going to do that?
Well, the Bible tells us, again, that whole imagery there is, in the second coming, he will come back in the clouds of glory and destroy the enemies of God. He's going to wipe out. And when you see this image, you've really got all the different mixtures of all these kingdoms from the past.
You know, right.
There's a part of it right now in our world. There's a part of Babylon in it. There's a part of the Medo-Persian in it. There's a part of Greece in it. And there's a part of Rome in it.
Yeah.
Rome will just be revived, but they're still all a part of that statue. Isn't that interesting? You still see those elements.
Yes, you still do.
And so he will come back. He will destroy it. He will rule and reign. And so we were talking before the show, sometimes you can get discouraged when you see what appears to be like the enemy winning.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the Lord's going to come back and he's going to win. He's going to destroy. And as you said, this mosaic, or let me change it to a tozaic.
A tozaic.
Yeah, that would be really more, I think. There you go.
Okay.
Thanks, Shecky.
Yes. Okay, well, let's talk about that, because at the very top of the statue was the Babylonian Empire.
That's right.
Which was represented by Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
And you talked about how in the end and during that, even during that tribulation period, it's the melding of these different empires are really have an active part in the world's affairs. But there's one empire in particular, Pastor Mark, that the book of Revelation calls out.
Yeah.
That, in a sense, is it not kind of revived in a sense, or it's different, or explain for people the Babylonian Empire and how that plays a part in prophecy, especially in the book of Revelation.
Well, he talks about Babylon, that great Babylon being destroyed there, and there's a mystery around that. There's
different
viewpoints of
yes.
what that is, you know, because some say, well, it could be a nation like America, and yet it's referred to as a city. We do know this, there is a spirit that's involved, a spirit of that same, the same spirit of the enemy, you know, that what he's done in Babylon from the very beginning. Remember, it's still a part of the statue. So you still see Babylon mixed in, Medo-Persian mixed in, Greece mixed in, and even in the vision that Daniel gets later of the bear and the leopard and all these other things. And for those who don't know Daniel, there's another vision that tells it from another angle using the animals. But it's the whole picture of they're still all a part of the overall picture. Babylon is still very much a part of the overall spiritual picture. And that whole spirit of Babylon, if you will, that where the enemy worked, that's what's going to be, it's still operating in the world, and that's what's going to be judged. You know, it's interesting, when you go back, when God first divided the world, they were gathering at Babylon, building this tower.
The so Tower of Babel.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have to divide. I mean, that's how long this has been a part of this whole process. And, you know, some have even said that maybe ancient Babylon itself will be revived, but that doesn't seem to be happening. But there is going to be some connection worldwide to this Babylon. And again, is it a place? Is it a, it is a certain place because it'll be destroyed, but is it like, what exactly is it narrowed down? Again, some have even tried to say that it's America, which, you know, possibly, I don't know, but we don't really know, but it's a part of this whole end time scene, is that spirit of Babylon and an actual representation of Babylon that God's going to physically judge.
So what was happening in ancient Babylon during the time of Nebuchadnezzar in terms of the culture, the society, or the things like that? What can we take from that, from history,
and see
that being maybe magnified scripturally, prophetically, when it refers to Babylon the Great?
Well, now, again, I'm not an expert on Babylonian history, but I can say this. Babylon, Medo-Persian, and Alexander, and the Greek Empire and Rome, they all incorporated a common thing, and that was all these false gods and you know, false systems of worship.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge false system of worship that's built into all of it that's been there from the beginning. Satan's going to use that false system of worship again with the Antichrist and the false prophet. So the whole spirit behind it's the same. The demonic realm behind it's the same. It just has taken different forms.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and just throw this at you see if you see there's a correlation.
Okay.
The people are going to weep when Babylon the Great is destroyed because Babylon the Great made a lot of money.
Made a lot of people rich.
Made a lot of people rich.
Maybe America.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of the...
Okay. Well, I'm not even thinking about a physical location this point, but let's think about that.
Right.
Okay. We're talking about like the stock market on unbelievable steroids. You know, it's 100,000, not, you know, 25,000 or whatever.
Right.
And then we take a look at what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to be able to do. And we've talked about this a lot lately because we see this a lot lately. And that is, he's going to be able to deceive the nations through sorcery.
Yeah.
And we know that that means pharmakia, it means pharmacy, it means drugs.
Yeah, the word there is pharmakia. And so there's going to be a drug influence in the last days of the culture of the world worldwide.
Okay, so here's where I'm going out on a limb. Do you think with the increase in the usage and the profit that's going to be made through pharmakia that we already see that?
Right.
Do you see that being a component of what's described prophetically in terms of, you know, it made a lot of people rich, but yet at the same time, it's integral in terms of the Antichrist's ability to deceive the nations,
very
the world.
Interesting. No, the very interesting insight, Greg. I mean, I think you can't deny that there is an influence in the Babylonian system of pharmakia.
Yeah.
That's going to be something God judges in the last days. You can't deny that it's a huge financial market. Part of the reason people are so messed up on the opioids and all this stuff is because all the companies have pushed it so much and it's been prescribed. And then there's this massive income that comes from that. And so, you know, when you talk about the money, the income, there's so many different avenues, you know, the income. You look at America.
I mean, how much shiplap from Home Depot can you possibly sell?
Right.
I mean, so what's going to get the whole world united?
No, you're right. Yeah. Just drugs in general. And you look at just now the legalization of marijuana in parts of America, the income that's coming from that. I mean, it's the industry itself is generates massive amounts of money. So there's no doubt that that is going to have an impact on not only the money that Babylon the Great makes, but the money that the world makes through Babylon the Great because of that. And so that's a very interesting, I never thought about it from the financial side of that, but there's also, it mentions other things. It mentions pharmakia, which is a huge money maker, but it mentions everything else, you know, the different supplies and all these things that are, you know, that come through Babylon the Great. So is Babylon the Great this end times European system and God knocks out a central location of it? Is it an individual nation, as we said, like America? We have to wait and see. We don't know for sure as it unfolds, but it will be a literal place that will make massive amounts of money and will promote other nations making massive amounts of money. And then God's going to deal with it and judge it because it really is that same spirit of Babylon. Anti-God, promotion of self, promotion of false worship, promotion of finances, money, everything else that goes with that. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting to watch as this unfolds. And again, with prophecy, what we've seen over the years is that we have general foundations of what we know to be true.
Right.
But when certain things happen, you get real clarity. It's like putting pieces there, and then over time, and Daniel talks about that in Daniel chapter 12. He says, as we get toward the last days, knowledge will increase. And I believe that Daniel being a prophetic book, it is referring at least in part, there's probably other aspects to that, other applications, but I believe in part referring to the increase of biblical, not just biblical knowledge, but prophetic knowledge. So we're going to begin to see things more clearly, even as now, as we watch these elections in Europe, for example.
Right.
If you were to say the toes of iron and clay, honestly, until I saw this uprising in Europe, I knew that was going to happen. I didn't know how. I'm not saying this is it, but these elections last week in Europe, to me, were almost like another piece of the puzzle.
Sure.
Saying, okay, here's how this division is going to line up. Here's how you're going to partly iron, partly clay. Everybody's going to have to come together at some point by this world leader, but some of them aren't going to be real happy about it. And of course, we see the battle going on with Brexit in Europe, mm-hmm. and they're now having to redo their elections and all this going. This is all based on that unification with Europe or not. It's all based on iron and clay. Are we going to come together and revive Roman Empire, or are we not? And so you see a group of you know, people made of clay saying, no, we don't want to do this, but they're going to be forced to.
When we talk about knowledge will increase in the last days, and we think about maybe, you know, the improvement in technology type of knowledge increasing.
And I believe that, too, as well. I think there's an application there for sure.
Can it also be the accessibility to knowledge? You know, I mean, I know Abraham Lincoln said you can believe everything on the Internet.
Right.
But the Internet has really brought knowledge much more, I mean, real knowledge,
absolutely.
Not fake news, fake
absolutely,
knowledge.
Yeah.
It's brought it much more accessible.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's in your hand. You don't even have to be in a classroom anymore to gain the answers to your questions.
Yeah.
You can simply just search for it in a search engine and get that information while you're standing in line at McDonald's. I mean, it's that easy nowadays. Do you think that could be part of what the Bible was referring to as well?
I definitely believe that, Greg. Like I said, there's many applications. I made one application of prophetic knowledge, but here's interesting. When you read that verse, it says two things. Men will travel, you know, to and fro across the earth, and it says knowledge will increase. So I see it as a prophetic book, so an implication here in context of prophecy, but also I see it as in the last days, you're seeing men traveling back and forth, airplanes, all the you know, the flights, these kind of things, and just the explosion of technology. Now, this is interesting. Why suddenly in our generation did technology and maybe the one before us suddenly explode after all this time? It's just exponential now. We have all these things when we know. Now, the world thinks we started out dumber and we're getting smarter. But we know man started out at his peak with Adam. And sin over the years has tainted. We're actually getting dumber.
Dumber, yeah.
So why, when we were at our smartest, did we not have computers and technology? God didn't let it happen. God held it back until the last days, and then boom. And this is part of, I think, of this whole unification of the world. There's no doubt this is being used to unify the world, and there's no doubt we're going to see it be a huge integral part, even with the Antichrist putting a mark on everyone so that he can monitor everyone in the world. How would you do that without the technology?
Mm.
I mean, even if you branded everyone in the world in the ancient world, you couldn't keep up with everybody by a brand.
You could
catch them and see if they had the brand, but you couldn't know where they were.
You couldn't track
them.
See,
now we could track. We can track.
Can we ever?
And well, as we talked about
before,
even when your phone is off, guess what?
You're still being
tracked. Big Brother's watching. Absolutely. You're being tracked at all times as long as you have that phone. And so, yes, I do believe there's multiple applications to the technology. And either way, like I said, keep your eyes on what's going on in Europe, because you're going to see, you know, don't think because you're seeing a populist movement. Don't think because you're seeing nationalists saying we want to keep our nation. Don't think because you see the right gaining a little bit of territory in Europe. Oh, maybe we're not really at the end yet. Things are turning back. They're not unifying. No. This is exactly what the Bible said would happen. All you're seeing is toes partly of clay getting ready to be forced to formulate with the iron of the final kingdom of the Roman Empire.
Man, stay tuned. It is getting interesting. Well, don't go anywhere, folks. When we come back, we're going to get into some Israel articles, lots of growing anti-Semitism, some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, and some info on the church as Signs of the Times continues. Israel in the News is up next.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. Just weeks after holding national elections, Israeli lawmakers took an unprecedented step on Wednesday to dissolve the Knesset, which will mean new elections will be necessary. This came after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was unable to form a governing coalition. The new elections will be held September 17th. The U.S. continues to up the pressure on Iran, this time for an attack on U.S.-bound oil tankers earlier this month. Fox's Simon Owen from London.
National Security Advisor John Bolton saying any attacks by Iran in the Gulf risk, quote, a very strong response from the United States. Bolton speaking in the United Arab Emirates, accusing Iran in an unusual incident in that country earlier this month when four oil tankers were damaged.
The Israeli Defense Force launching airstrikes against Syria this week. Fox's Trey Yingst reporting from Jerusalem.
According to the Israeli Defense Forces, one of their fighter jets was conducting a routine flight Monday when it came up against anti-aircraft fire. In a statement released by the IDF, the event was called abnormal and a violation of Israeli sovereignty. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a clear response to the events overnight, saying that Israel will respond with force and firmness to any attack.
Fires in southern Israel last week, some of them sparked by incendiary balloons, have destroyed countless homes and agricultural fields. The Times of Israel reports that a village was completely destroyed. Following the fire, a campaign was launched by the families of those residing in the community, who partnered with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to raise money to rebuild the town. Already, $325,000 has been raised through Jewish and Christian donors. A rise in anti-Semitic attacks in Germany has led to calls for caution among its Jewish citizens. Fox's Simon Owen has the latest from London.
The German government's anti-Semitism commissioner saying he can't recommend that it's always safe to wear the Jewish skullcap in Germany. This amid a rise in anti-Semitic incidents, according to government statistics. Among those reacting to the guidance, Israel's president saying he's shocked.
Meanwhile, a group of teenage boys from a yeshiva high school in Brighton, Massachusetts, aided in the rescue of a man drowning in the Chestnut Hill Reservoir in Boston last week. It was later learned that the man who was rescued had a tattoo of a swastika on his hand. The teens reportedly asked the officers to tell the man that it was, quote, four young Jewish boys who helped save his life, and that they harbored no regrets in helping a man with an anti-Semitic tattoo. This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Visit israelinthenews.org to see how you can support Israel's Watchmen on the Wall. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, Prophecy Peeps. It's time for the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, May 31st, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us for our second half hour. This is episode 80 for the podcasters. Don't forget our website, thesigns.org, if you'd like to subscribe to our podcast so you can listen to Signs of the Times anytime through Apple iTunes, Google Play, or if you're highly technical, we've got an RSS feed that you can use in your favorite MP3 player. So let's get into some articles of interest this week. Israel accepts a U.S. mediated, I almost said medicated, it's probably true. Israel accepts a U.S. mediated talk with Lebanon on the sea border. What is all of this about? I didn't even realize this was an issue. This is from Israel National News.
Well, again, you know, this whole thing about the sea border, I mean, there's been a battle going on, Greg, for a long time. Let me read some of the articles.
Yeah,
Energy
absolutely.
Minister Yuval Steinitz says Israel will enter U.S.-led talks Lebanon on maritime borders. Israel's, I'm repeating myself, said Monday his country has agreed to enter the U.S. mediated talks with Lebanon on maritime borders that would have an impact on offshore oil and gas exploration. Steinitz said in the statement after meeting U.S. State Department official David Satterfield that Israel agreed to move forward with the talks. Lebanese officials said last week that Satterfield, the acting assistant secretary for Near Eastern Affairs, had informed them that Israel agreed to negotiations, and Israel had not commented at the time. Last year, Lebanon signed its first contract to drill for oil and gas in its waters, including for a block disputed, and that's the key here, by its southern neighbor Israel, which has fought several wars. Now, here's, let me sum this up. This goes all back to that huge natural gas find and oil
to Leviathan
out of the Mediterranean. What we call the Leviathan. Now, remember, Israel said, this is ours because it's in their waters.
Right.
And, of course, Lebanon and those around them, wait a minute.
Not
no,
so fast,
no,
my friend.
No, it's ours. It's ours. You can't have it. So what happened is they've been, part of it is very undisputed. I mean, this is Israel territory. They're not going to come and try to fight them doing the drilling there. But it extends all the way up toward Lebanon and even parts that are really Israel's. So Lebanon's fighting, saying, you know, we're going to fight you over this. You can't have that. So America has gotten involved in mediating where that actual line would draw there in the ocean.
This
is like when you got kids, you know, okay, look, this is your part. That's your part. So that's what they're doing. They're dividing it up. But so that's what's happening in just the literal sense. But the bigger picture is this.
Okay.
Remember, the bigger picture is Israel now has this reward that Russia's going to want. We talked about Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yes.
Why would they come in and attack them? What does Israel have? We're going to come in and get your shawarma. I'm taking all your falafel. You can't have my falafel. Get away from me, you know, but whatever. No, no, no. And it's not. We're coming for the oil.
Yep.
There in Golan, that's been discovered now, and we're coming for the gas reserves, Leviathan, out there in the ocean. I believe these are going to be some of the things where it says they're coming to get the reward that's going to be pulling them in. And remember, we talked about, again, this is going to be something that's going to be pipelined right into Europe. Guess who sells oil and natural gas to Europe? Russia. Guess whose economy is over 60% of gas and oil, of how they survive? Russia.
Russia.
If Israel starts bleeding into that, that gives Russia more motivation to say, stop it. We're coming to take it. We want it. You're destroying our nation financially, and we also want what you've got. It's just going to be more of a reason for them to join with Iran and come in for the attack.
Yeah. And cheap crude oil is not helping Iran or Russia either.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, if you were listening to Israel in the news at the top of the hour, there's a great increase in growing anti-Semitism. So let's get into some of these stories.
Yeah.
They talked about at the top of the hour. Some of them they didn't. This first one is from Israel National News, dated May 27th. Police are saying that the smashing of French Jewish headstones is not anti-Semitic.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Okay, explain that, Pastor.
Well, again, drunk students smashed several headstones at the only functioning Jewish cemetery in Bordeaux, the police said, adding this was not anti-Semitic. The three male students, again, they're just trying to cover their
tracks.
The three male students, one of whom was arrested, smashed the headstones Friday night at the Portuguese Jewish cemetery of the southwestern French city, some of them by jumping on them, a police source told French AFP news agency. The student who was arrested was caught because he was injured while smashing the headstones. He stopped a passerby for help, and the passerby called police. So the guy gets in trouble because he hurt himself doing it. And I quote, at face value, this had nothing to do with anti-Semitism. What kind of statement, the police officially said. The report did not quote the officer as proposing any other explanation for vandalism. The bottom line is, Greg, is that it was a Jewish cemetery they chose to attack, and we're seeing worldwide Jews being attacked worldwide, rather, as you're about to point out in the next article.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's continue with blind justice here. Israel National News also reporting that smashed cars outside of a Chicago synagogue is not a hate crime.
Isn't it interesting? If you do it to anybody else, it is. If you do it to a Jew, it's not.
It's not. Isn't that amazing?
Do you see a spirit behind this? The smashing of two car windows around the same time as attempted arson on Chicago synagogue was not a hate crime, according to local police. A suspect has been arrested in the vandalism this week at Rest Rogers Park, a neighborhood with a large Jewish population. It was among 14 similar incidents in the neighborhood that took place over the course of May. Police apprehended the suspect after finding him smashing windows. So it's tombstones and windows. They made the announcement on Wednesday, and I quote, as suspected, the vandalism does not appear to have been a hate crime. The vandalism occurred about the same time as an attempted arson attack on a synagogue in another Chicago neighborhood. Look, here's the bottom line, and we're going to get to another article, but before I say that, let me remind our listeners. The Bible says there'll be increased anti-Semitism in the last days. Satan's going to turn the heat up on the Jews. Well, now they're tearing apart cemeteries, busting out windows, burning a synagogue nearby while they're busting out windows. But it has nothing to do with the fact they're Jewish. This is willful blindness going on here. But it's exactly what the Bible says will happen in the last days.
Well, this next article, and Israel in the News had discussed this at the top of the hour. This reminds me of pre-World War II Germany when I read this.
Yeah.
This is from Israel Today. The German government is now recommending Jews that live in Germany not to walk around looking like Jews.
Wow. Wow, you can't even live like who you are now in your own neighborhood.
Can you imagine if you said that to some other culture, say, don't wear that that's representative of your culture? Because can you imagine the outcry? Anyway,
take off your hijab.
Go ahead.
In light of the growing anti-Semitism across Europe and particularly in Germany, Klein, who serves as the government's director against anti-Semitism, felt the time had come to caution Jews about wearing skull caps, their yarmulkes, that invite anti-Semitism, hate crimes, and violence. And I quote, "Unfortunately, my opinion has changed compared to what it used to be," he said in an interview published Saturday in the German newspaper, Funk? That's funny. I mean, Funk with an E, but either way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah, it's just a funny name for a newspaper.
Yeah.
"I cannot recommend that Jews wear the skull cap at all times and anywhere in Germany." Klein did not specify which places or times could be dangerous. Bavarian Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann rejected Klein's comments. He says this, "Everyone can and should wear a skull cap whenever he wants, and it does not matter where and when." At the same time, Jewish Agency Chairman Isaac Herzog joined in the condemnation, and I quote, "It is inconceivable that 74 years after the end of World War II, Jews in Germany will not be able to wear a yarmulke because of fear for their lives." Again, the bottom line is that if people recognize you're a Jew, you could be in big trouble in certain areas now in Germany. And you know, they're amazed by it. It's the same spirit at work.
I was just going to say, it's the same spirit being revived. That spirit's being revived.
It really is. And so it's just, again, the last day says it's going to happen. The last day says it's going to be revived. But, Greg, it is being revived. And this is only going to increase. Now, we're not going to read the article because I didn't even send it to you. But I saw in my article searches today this headline, "American Jews are experiencing near historic levels of anti-Semitism." Okay, and that was from the Anti-Defamation League. So even here in America, where we think of, okay, you're in a safe zone, you know, this
right,
is your safe,
yeah,
your safe space,
yeah,
your safe place. And we've seen the synagogue shootings. We've seen Jews being blamed for everything. I mean, it's like there was a tornado last week. The Jews did it. I mean,
wow.
I'm exaggerating, but almost not.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Iran accused them of stealing their rain. Remember, they said they're stealing our clouds.
Yes.
They said they were doing something atmospherically to steal the rain and clouds or to cause them. It was ridiculous. But the Jews are to blame for everything. It is a spiritual hatred comes from the enemy. This is not mankind. It comes from the enemy.
Yeah.
Men are just pawns in this thing and don't even realize it, but we're watching an increase. Sadly, we're going to see this increase more and more as we get closer to the Lord's return, because Satan's fury is going to turn more against those God has made promises to, the Jewish people and the believers in Jesus.
Pastor Mark, I don't know that the person in this next article is really a Christian or not. You can tell me about this, but this is very disturbing, especially if someone represents himself from the church, says this.
Yeah.
An evangelist is calling on Christians to repent for standing with Israel.
Let me talk about the absurdity of this and then get to a little bit of this replacement theology. We'll take a moment for a second.
Yep.
But listen to this. In a bizarre and dangerous broadcast on a so-called Christian news program, True News host Doc Burkhart, and I really don't know who this is.
Okay.
He gave a call for listeners to repent for supporting Israel. Burkhart then leads his audience to confess their sin of standing with Israel.
Oh, my.
And he gives them a prayer. Listen to this.
Wow.
Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I was so deceived. I don't know how I was so bewitched by all of this, he asked the viewers to pray. I thought it was a good thing to support the people of Israel. I thought it was a good thing to help Israel. But now I see it's just people using the name of Israel, people using the people of Israel in order to line their own pockets, in order to build their own kingdoms, in order to make themselves feel important, the evangelist leads in prayer. And it says, and now that they've repented of standing with Israel, Burkhart goes on to lead the Christians to fully embrace the heresy of replacement theology by making this declaration: Jesus, you are my Zion. Jesus, you're my promised land. Jesus, you're my temple. Jesus, you are my eternal capital. See, here's the bottom line. Here's what he's doing. Now, what he's this again, first of all, let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3.
You please.
The Lord said this to Abraham, speaking to him and his descendants: I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And then we get to Jeremiah, and God says, look, I have made an eternal promise to the nation of Israel, and I'm keeping my promise unless the sun goes dark and the moon goes out and the oceans cease to exist. He said, if you see any of that happen, if you look out and the oceans are gone, the sun has gone out, the moon's not shining, then you can know I'm not keeping my promise with Israel. But God said, I'm keeping my promise. He's proven it by very existence and creation itself. And he said, those who stand with him, I'll bless, and those who don't, I won't. Now, as we see Satan turn the heat up on Israel in the last days or against God, he's going to have to start trying to turn the hearts of those who support Israel against them. Because the Bible does say that every nation at some point will turn against Israel. So this is a concerted demonic effort led by Satan himself to get people to hate the nation. But God's word is unambiguous. It's very clear. It very clearly states we are to stand with Israel. We are to support Israel, not because they're righteous, not because they're godly, not because of anything they're doing with their money or how they're even governing, but because they're the 12 tribes of Israel and the descendants of Abraham, and God made them a promise. So that's why we're to stand with them. So this right here is a false prophet. He's a false teacher, and he's out to lunch. Now, what is this replacement theology? I'm not going to say that everybody that's in replacement theology is necessarily a false prophet, but replacement theology is a false teaching. And what does it teach? Replacement, it's in the language. It replaces Israel with the church. So when you read in the Bible, God says to Israel, I've made you these promises. No. God didn't really mean that. It's not really Israel he made these promises to. It's really now the church. Well, where does it say God changed that? Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. However, we know that he did, and here's how we know. Because the Jews killed the Messiah. Turned on Jesus, they killed him, and when they did that, God said, I'm going to turn on them now, and now you know what? You're not Israel anymore. The church is Israel. The problem is, God didn't say that. Man said that. And so you've got this whole teaching of replacement theology where we are now in place of the church. There are so many problems with that theologically. If we could do a whole show on the problems theologically with saying that we are Israel and that Israel's not Israel. And so this is just, again, a false teaching, and he's using the false teaching, sadly, this of the replacement theology to push forward this hatred and rejection of the Jews through that teaching. And here's the sad thing, Greg, there's a big portion of the church that falls in that replacement theology category. And I'm not saying that all the people that are under that category are unbelievers and they're all false prophets. I'm not making that statement. I'm saying they are deceived, and they've been deceived into a false teaching. And that false teaching is now getting more and more teeth and gripping in tighter. And you're going to see it. I mean, there are going to be fewer and fewer friends of Israel, which, by the way, for those of you who know the Word of God and love Israel, this is your opportunity to really press in and love them all the more. This is your opportunity to stand with them all the more, because the world's going to turn against them. And I have actually I had a friend from Israel just email me yesterday. And again, either today or yesterday, the last couple of days. And I am purposefully, now he's not a believer, but he's a friend in Israel from our trips over there. I am purposefully trying to make better inroads and be a greater blessing. Because they're going to need all the help they can get as we get closer and closer to the end, because everybody's going to turn on them.
Yeah.
So it's a great chance, and two things will happen.
Yes.
You will be blessing the people of Israel by helping them as the world turns against them, and you're going to be actually being, I believe, gaining more reward in the kingdom of God because you're obeying God's word and doing what God asked you to do. So it's almost like we've got this hidden stock that nobody knows about that's going to just go out the roof and make piles of money.
Yes.
And everybody's saying that stock's going to fail. Yeah. Get rid of that stock. And we're going, we actually know the end, and this stock is going to bring great dividends. Invest in that spiritual stock. Invest in the nation of Israel, in your feelings, emotions, prayers, financially. Stand with them, and one day your payday is going to be massive, and you're going to be standing on the right side of eternal history.
So, Doc Burkhardt, if you're listening, we are not lining our physical pockets with money, but we are lining our eternal pockets with reward because we're simply obeying what God's word has told us to do.
My first question would be this. What's up, Doc?
Yeah, that's right. What is up?
You're not kidding.
Well, he's going to find out, unfortunately, unless he repents.
I'll look him up later. I'll get some information because, I don't really know who he is. I just saw the article, and that was my main focus on. It is the spirit behind that article that was my concern today, not so much that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll see if I can't find some info.
Maybe we can do a follow-up on
there
him.
There you go.
Okay. All right, our smorgasbord of yuck, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Belly up to this article, more than 5 million are left without power in Ohio after tornadoes reduced homes to rubble. Yeah. And another article, 500 tornadoes in 30 days in the U.S.
Unbelievable.
Now, if this was prophetic, you tell us, Pastor Mark, is this reaping the whirlwind?
Biblically? This is quite a whirlwind, okay, if you will. But yeah, again, this is prophetic. Jesus talked about there in Matthew 24 about you would see in the last days these kind of things happening, these kind of the earth basically. In Matthew 24, it doesn't talk about the earth groaning, but it talks about the pestilence and the plagues and all that. Another place it tells us that the earth will be groaning. So we're going to be seeing more of these groanings of the earth and the environment, which I want to touch on more in a second.
Okay.
After I read some of this article. I'm not going to read them both.
Okay.
But I'm going to look at this one on the that you noted on the 500 tornadoes, because that kind of sums it up. The U.S. has been rocked by, get this, 500 tornadoes in the past 30 days. Man, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
With a trapped jet stream in the atmosphere stuck in neutral, they say, according to the U.S. Storm Prediction Center. In the past seven decades, only 2003, 4, 8, and 11 have they faced this many tornado reports in a 30-day period. So it's happened before, but this is extremely rare. Bill Bunting, chief of forecast operations at the center in Norman, Oklahoma, said in a telephone interview that this was the case. Through Tuesday, the center got calls on the 12 days of eight or more tornadoes. A preliminary record that will take months to confirm. So this kind of thing has happened, but it looks like it's going to actually break the old records here as it's happening. He goes on to say this. I want to quote him here. Whether or not we can say it is unprecedented, we'll figure it out later. But certainly it has been unusual. It is unusual to have this type of streak going. Now, obviously, the other article about the people in their homes, we need to be remembering to pray for them. I mean, it has been major devastation. They're going to need a lot of help. I'm sure Samaritan's Purse and others will be going in there. But we need to be praying for them. But, Greg, this is exactly what the Lord talked about with the increase of just the turmoil of the earth in the last days and the groanings of the earth.
Yeah.
Now, this, and I want to bring something else on this too, because this whole environmental movement and the whole climate change stuff, I don't think that our argument should be as Christians politically as to where we stand or what we believe or don't believe. Here's what we need to be saying as believers. The Bible says the earth is going to be going through some radical climate and atmospheric and all kinds of weirdo things the closer we get to the return of the Lord. This has been predicted. It's what we expected. Whether or not some of it's really happening or not happening, I don't want to get into that kind of argument.
Right.
But we are going to see the environment, you know, convulsing.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting. We talked about this before, because remember, as people turn away from God, Romans chapter 1, they turn more to worship of the environment and created things. Yeah. And what did God do with the gods of Egypt? He judged those gods of Egypt. And now we see, as people worship more and more the environment as we head into the last days, when the great tribulation comes, what's God going to be judging?
Yeah.
The environment.
Yeah.
He's going to destroy the oceans, the trees, the green grass, all these things that these people are worshiping. And we've got to protect them. We've got to guard them. And again, I'm not speaking about not being a good steward. We get that. That's a foundation. We should take care of the planet God has given us. But to go overboard and worship it, God, you know, God is God. The environment's not God.
Right.
And so you're going to see more and more of the earth convulsing. It's just going to be what happens as we get closer to the Lord's return and all these kind of things, earthquakes, etc. But then you're going to see, the environment is going to be greatly affected, but it's not going to be mankind destroying the environment. It's going to be God. God himself is going to destroy our environment because of man's rebellion.
We'd have to ask our friend Bill Koenig over at Watch.org, but you mentioned the previous years in that article. And just on the surface, what struck me when you read those years is those are all the prior years to the election year.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that either.
Anyway, just a thought.
That's very interesting. You know, we'll mark that in the That's Interesting file.
That's Interesting file. Okay. A couple of articles on the church. This first one from ChristianHeadlines.com. Actually, both of them are from ChristianHeadlines.com.
Yeah.
The first one is Southern Baptist Church attendance hits a 30-year low.
Wow.
Clearly, the fog machine has run out of juice.
Well, yeah. According to the denomination's annual church profile, membership tumbled down 14.8 million in 2018, which is the first time it has dipped between...
That's a lot of money.
It's the first time it's dipped between below 15 million since 1989. So it didn't tumble 14.8 million people leaving. it fell down to 14.8 million that are considered.
But you got me excited.
It would have been a lot. But this is the first time since 1989 that it got under 15 million, though the overall giving elevated to a healthy 11.8 million. So they're doing fine financially. The SBC is rightly concerned by the latest figures, which indicate a sizable exodus of members. And I quote, "Facts are our friends, even when the facts themselves are unfriendly."
Yes.
Tweeted Southern Baptist Theological Seminary President Adam Greenway. Heartbreaking to see these ACP declines. We must do better as Southern Baptists. God help us. Now, again, he goes on to talk about being discouraged here. You know, he says, "I'm discouraged to see J.D. Greer from the SBC, the president, said I'm discouraged to see 7,000 less baptisms this year." They keep up with everything, all their baptisms, all their numbers. But now, why is this interesting to us? Remember, in the last days, the Bible says that there will be a falling away. So one thing you're going to see is churches shrinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to see mega churches all the way up until the Lord's return. We might. There may be these guys, there are some guys that are so gifted, and God blesses them so much, and it's a wonderful thing to see.
Joel Osteen.
But I wonder about these, when you see what's going to be happening, the great falling away.
Yeah.
And the persecution increasing on Christians, I think you're going to see a point to where it's going to be only the faithful, not just those who want to be a part of the in crowd. Mm. The faithful are going to be there, and the churches are going to dwindle down. That doesn't mean that we don't hunker down and be faithful with the congregations that we're involved in. We do it all the more. But if you're looking for just your church to be big or big churches, you know, we're heading into a time where they are going to grow more and more scarce, and they may actually become extinct by the time the Lord comes back. We'll have to wait and see. But this is just further evidence of what the Bible says. In the last days, you will see a falling away. I think this is indications of it.
Okay. All right. Our last article, Pastor Mark, is a Texas church demonstrating their gift of hospitality as they're hosting a drag queen story hour after the city library canceled the event. Now, the city library, I think, was run by some sort of private company, but explain all this.
How sad can it get? First of all, that a city would have this type of stuff in a library for children. Have you noticed the focus
is on
children?
The city turns it down, but the church takes it.
Yeah, so then the city goes, "Well, we can't do that anymore because that's too much debauchery for us." And so the church says, "Oh, well, then let us do it." Now, when I say the church, I use that term very loosely. This is obviously not the true Church of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. City officials in Leander, Texas, found themselves mired in controversy after the city's library announced that it would host a drag queen story hour event. Then a church in the community announced they would rent a room at the library and host the event themselves. So it's at the library, but a church is hosting it. Open Cathedral, a relatively new church which meets in a local elementary school, will host the event on June 15th because, and I quote, "We must never stop striving for safe spaces for our kids to be unique and loved no matter what." You're talking about you're leading them to destruction.
Wow.
The church's pastor, if you can call him that, an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ, said he founded the church because he was tired of church. I'm not even going to say it. Tired of the church being bad. Even his slang I don't want to use. On the website, the church claims to be open and affirming, saying they want to be ever more open to be affirming of all people by embracing similarities and embracing differences in age, race, ethnicity, income level, ability, sexual orientation, and gender expression. And, of course, it goes on with all this nonsense. You know, here's the bottom line. When I read these articles, Greg, and this has come up before, what I think of is when Jesus said this, "It would be better for those who cause these little ones to stumble."
Your millstone moment.
"To have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the sea." And he was referring to the Sea of Galilee. He was on the Sea of Galilee at the time, so probably in context he was.
Yeah.
But here's the bottom line. It's one thing to have the old proverbial mobster put your feet in concrete and throw you in, right? And you and you drown from this miserable thing.
Right.
Jesus made it worse.
He made it worse.
He said, "No, we're putting this around your neck. You're going to be yanked by the neck, not the feet, yanked by the neck to the bottom. Violently broken neck, slammed down." Now, again, that's literally not going to happen, but he said this: "If that happened, that would be better for you than what's going to happen to this pastor if he didn't repent." That's heavy duty.
That is heavy duty.
That's heavy duty. And I say that, I doubt he'll hear this. I wish he would. He has no idea what he's facing from the Bible says it's, yes, God is loving, God is merciful, God is forgiving. But when you go right in God's face against his word and you ruin the next generation, especially the most vulnerable, the children, that's why the Lord put up a really high wall and said, you leave them alone. Now, I know he's talking about the little ones in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. but I do believe there's an application to children as well. And so the bottom line is, listen, we need to be loving our children, teaching them about Jesus, and leading them to Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and the hope we have in him, which is what we want our listeners to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Mark, thank you. And folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget our website, thescience.org, for everything Signs of the Times related. And maybe you've seen a news article we haven't discussed and you wonder if it's prophetic. Well, ask us that question and we'll answer it on the air. You can do all of those things at our website. Again, thescience.org. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.